Let's jump in. Turn with me to John chapter 15. Today's text comes from verse 12 to 17. And as we do so, if you are able, please do stand together to show your respect to the reading of God's holy word. John 15, verse 12 to 17, may the Lord bless his reading. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you. These things I command you so that you will love one another. The word of God for the people of God. Please be seated. Join me once more now in prayer. Lord God, we come before you. We ask for your guidance. And as we address perhaps one of the most pertaining issues in life, the issue of friendship, Lord God, I pray that we will first and foremost greatly minister and encouraged by the friendship that you have shown unto us. Lord God, the crux of the gospel is about divine friendship that you have come to forge with every single one of us. And as we hear about this vertical relationship, and as we move towards our horizontal relationship with those who are around us, Lord God, I hope and pray that we will not only learn what true gospel friendship is, but we may truly become a friend who will become a reflection of the truest friend that is Jesus. So Lord God, bless our time together. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Friendship. I think we all see the importance of it. If you are actually young, you've heard this probably more than once in life. Your parents probably have reminded you many times. I think if I were to recall one of the most common, let's say, counsel or advice that my mom has given to me throughout the years when I was a young kid, she kept reminding me to make good friends. So I think even at such a young age, I knew the importance of friendship. And I think every one of us knows the significance of that. But one of the things that we don't do enough in the context of church or ministry is that we don't talk about this subject matter. St. Augustine believed that in this world, two things are essential: life and friendship. He writes, God created people to breed and be alive. But mere life is not enough. If a human being is to be a real person, then there must be friendship in life. And we know this personally and deeply, don't we? Because whether you're young or old, I think all of us have experienced the both spectrums of friendship. Joy that it can bring, and also the pain that it can cause. One hand, true friendship is life-changing. On the other hand, bad friendship can indeed be life-damaging. So it matters. It matters a lot. Therefore, it deserves our attention and is worthy of our careful evaluation and consideration. And I truly do believe that issue of friendship or the subject of friendship is one of the most pertaining issues in life, particularly in the age and culture of social media that we live in. I think social media has done a tremendous blessed thing for many people. It has rekindled many lost relationships, connecting friends, new and old. But one of the ill effects of social media is that it has brought much distortion and confusion on the meaning of friendship. Just want to actually ask this question. Let me kind of set this up, platform. How many of you guys are active on social media? Just raise your hand. Okay, Facebook, is it really just for old people now? I was told that young people don't do Facebook anymore. Instagram is, you know, way to go. So, but, you know, I'm an old guy, so let's talk about Facebook. How many of you guys have more than 100 friends on your Facebook? Raise your hand. I'm giving you, you know, platform to see how cool you are right now. All right? You're such a popular, awesome influencer, great following. So let's just go with it. Okay, how many of you guys, 100, Pastor Ben, maybe you only have 100. I got way more. So here we go. Let's just jump. Okay, how many of you guys have more than 300 friends? Okay, now it's getting serious. How many of you guys have more than 700? Okay. Okay, now the real test. How many of you guys have 1,000? Okay, let's go crazy. How many of you guys have more than 2,000? Okay. Okay, you got some issues. I don't even have. I think I do have about, at least on Facebook, 300 plus, but I stopped actually accepting, you know, like friend requests because I have no idea who these people are, okay? But here's something that I want you to know. Have you ever scrolled down on your Instagram or Facebook, you know, when you see all these pictures full of updates and, you know, and the pictures and events of quote-unquote your friends, have you ever wondered this question? Are these people really my friends? The paradox of social media is that you and I know so many people, and yet we feel so little that we don't know that many people, or we are not known by many. And the irony of social media is that the greater number of friends or followers that you have, the lonelier that you may actually feel. Here is an eye-opening survey and study that was done in 2018 by Cigna study. People aged in between 18 to 22 experience loneliness significantly more than people 72 and older. And this is not a coincidence. In a recent study that was done by University of Pennsylvania, one of the psychologists named Melissa Hung, she concludes this. There is an inevitable link between loneliness and social media used by 18 and 22-year-olds. And she actually even gives this remedy. Less you use social media, the less you will feel depressed and lonely in life. While social media promises social connectedness, more often than not, what you really experience in reality is social isolation. Today's talk is not to shame you on the usage of social media. And I think there is a subject that we do need to address, but that's a different talk for a different time. But I do think that the real issue, the underlying issue, which we need to address, particularly as a Christian, is how we can reclaim and restore our understanding on friendship. And by that, I mean gospel friendship that Jesus is teaching us. Why? Because it is so important, whether you are young or old, if you cannot discern what true friendship is versus false and pseudo friendship, you will always, always feel less in your heart. And when you actually think about this, the very message of friendship is always found in the message of the gospel, isn't it? Why? Because at the heart of it, the gospel message is about Jesus coming down and befriending those who are lonely, who are marginalized. What was the nickname that was actually given to Jesus, everyone? The reason why he was so hated by the Pharisees and the spiritual leaders. Because Jesus was a friend to tax collectors and sinners. So what we need to understand, especially on this day, is what gospel friendship is all about. You know, today we have a wonderful occasion to witness baptism, installation of new members. We're going to commission the Paraguay team, so there's a lot of things going on. And I wish I could have an extended time to address the subject on gospel friendship. We don't, due to time strain. So I want us to simply consider two things. And those two things are, let's consider the nature of gospel friendship. And secondly, let's now consider the purpose of gospel friendship. So now, first, let's consider the nature of friendship. And when I say nature of friendship, I do mean, what are the building blocks of gospel friendship? And according to today's passage, two building blocks of gospel friendship are love and sacrifice. So let's dissect these two a little bit more. You will note that in the very text that we have read, from verse 12 to 17, in verse 12 and verse 17, you will find the repetition in a form of an imperative that is given unto us, and which means that it's a command. And the commandment is love one another. And Jesus now tells us this. This is a command I'm giving to you. And that command is you need to love one another. And this loving relationship that Jesus is talking about is not a romance relationship between men and women. He's not talking about a family relationship, but he's talking about friendship. And the reason why we know that is because the word friend is mentioned three times following that commandment. So it is a friend-loving relationship that he is actually addressing. And he said, in the very heart of friendship, the very foundation of it, it has to be established on this mutual intimacy, love in terms of mutual self-disclosure. You have done this probably when you were a kid. Do you recall that time? I want you to go back to when you were 5 or 6 years old. You met someone and you want to be a friend. And when you actually meet someone who you want to consider as a friend, not only meeting someone is important, but there has to be this follow-up. What I consider to be the sealing of friendship. What do little kids do? Have you ever wondered, and have you ever said this? I want to tell you something that I haven't told anyone else. If you want a certified friendship, what marks and seals that friendship is when you share something that you do not share with anyone else. That's the bond of trust that you create. And unless you share something that is deep in your heart, you could never really consider anyone else to be your friend. You know what friendship is? Giving or granting access to the very secret of your chamber, of your heart. It's granting that secret code. You could punch it anytime. You can come in. I let no one else in, but I'm letting you in. Notice what Jesus says in today's passage in verse 15. No longer do I call you servants, for the servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends, for all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Here's an incredible statement that Jesus is making. You and I could never fully comprehend the dynamic and the nature of the relationship that is shared between the triune God. But there is one thing that we know. The Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, they have a perfect bond. They love one another. Jesus says in the previous verse, the Father has loved me and I love the Father. And Jesus even said it elsewhere, my food is to do the will of my Father, meaning I will obey my Father because I love him and he loves me and it is unbreakable. Our bond, our relationship, the very dynamic that we share is one of amazing perfection. They share everything. And notice what Jesus says here. He turns to us and he says, I no longer call you servants because servant doesn't know his master's heart, but I call you friend because everything that the Father has shared with me, I have made it known to you. So the very first building block of gospel friendship is your willingness to let someone into your life. You got to share. So I don't want you to see friendship as something of an activity, but first and foremost, it is always your heart's disposition. You're willing to let someone else in. And notice, and it's worth noting, the only way Jesus established his friendship with us when he actually made the decision, that choice to come and forge, initiate this friendship with us. You did not choose me, but I chose you, is the saying of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that choosing of our Lord Jesus Christ required condescension of our Lord Jesus. He came from heaven above, lower himself, so that he will come to people undeserving of his grace and mercy, and he will look right into us and said, I don't call you servants, but I call you friends. Have you ever wondered as to why you have a hard time making friends? Isn't it true, everyone? Pride is the greatest stumbling block to forge a relationship. Simply put, you can never be friend with someone that is lower than you. If you think that you are better than someone, if you think that you're higher than someone, if you have this superiority complex, you can never make friends in life. But what is Jesus doing? Look at his disposition. He is humble, and he's willing to go through humiliation, and he's willing to go all the way down because he considers us to be his friends. So it's really your heart's attitude. If you don't have that willingness to befriend someone, you will never be a friend to anyone else. Remember that. Second building block of gospel friendship is sacrifice. Notice the definition that Jesus gives. Greater love has no one than this, that someone lay down his life for his friends. So what are we talking about here? I think it will be very helpful for me to give you a definition that C.S. Lewis gives. By the way, this definition of of friends is used by so many pastors and many theologians, and I think he does a wonderful job of contrasting between friendship and romance relationship. He says this, there is a distinguishing mark between the lovers and friends. You know how it is, young men and women, when you actually fall in love, you are always so busy looking at each other, right? So lovers, this is what they do. They stand face to face, and they are so consumed with each other's beauty. They're so enamored by each other's, just beauty and grace. They, spend all their time praising one another and saying, "You are so beautiful. I love you, and I will, be there for you." They're so smitten by each other's beauty. They're in love with one another. That's romance. That's the relationship of love of romance. But love of friendship is a little different in that sense. It's really a matter of location. And friends never stand face to face. That's what lovers do. But when it comes to friendship, they stand next to one another. In other words, friends are not there looking at each other, say, "Oh, you are such an amazing, you're beautiful, I love you." By the way, you know how it is? When ladies, you guys experience, right? You have a good friend who is a boy, right, or man, and all of a sudden he wants to become your boyfriend. Instead of standing next to you, they come right in front of you and start confessing their love unto you. It becomes very awkward, right? Because that's not his place. Your place is next to me, not in front of me. Why? Because friends, you stand next to one another. The goal of friendship, in other words, is not to tell each other, "You're amazing, I'm beautiful, you're beautiful, we're going to love one another." That's not it. But the goal is to stand next to one another, shoulder to shoulder, saying, "I'll be with you through and through." Proverbs gives this wonderful description of friend. A faithful friend is one who is always next to you, or who sticks to you, who is stuck on you. Apostle Paul, in the letter that is written to Philippi, calling some of his co-laborers, in chapter 4, verse 2, he says that, "To you, to my yoke fellows. Yoke fellows. Wonderful, intriguing description, but he's addressing his friends in gospel ministry. Yoke is that cross piece, wooden piece, that is fastened amongst the shoulders of two animals. And you know what the goal of yoke is? So that you will move in the same direction, but ultimately is to share the burden of the yoke. Do you recall when Jesus says, "Come, all who are tired and weary, and I will give you rest." And the following verse says, "Learn from me, because my yoke is easy." So when Jesus makes this definition, no greater love than this, he will lay down his life, that is not only a definition that he is giving, but also self-fulfilling prophecy, which he will do for his disciples. In other words, do you know why Jesus came into this world and he laid down his life? It's because the yoke of God's judgment that was placed upon his disciples and for us. And the reason why Jesus came into this world and laid down his life is so that he will carry our burden on his shoulder more than anything else. So if you really want to know what friend is, what true friendship is, first is one's disposition, but secondly is the location of your relationship. Are you willing to stand next to whomever you consider to be a friend and share that burden? That's what gospel friendship is all about. So after considering the nature of gospel friendship, now let's talk about the real purpose of gospel friendship. And when I talk about purpose, I want you to ask this question. Why would Jesus come all the way from heaven to earth and give his life for us? What will prompt Jesus to have that kind of attitude and commitment to us? Simply put, we are asking the question of why. Why would he do that? And I want you to now come back. And really, this is not so much a profound teaching. More or less, it's the meditation of the definition that Jesus is giving unto us. When Jesus laid down his life, the reason why he has done that service was to seek the greatest good of his friends, his disciples. And what was the greatest good of the disciples? Everyone? Was it the protection from the Roman government? Was it the protection from the Jewish leadership? At the end of the day, Jesus was not concerned about that. But he was more concerned about the greatest need of his 12 disciples, which was none other than the redemption and salvation. This may be a message that I'm preaching to a choir, but I want you to hear me and hear me loudly and clearly. What distinguished gospel friendship from all other friendship that is out there is this: the spiritual component of you committing yourself to be a sanctifying agent in order to bring about the greatest redemption and salvation in each other's lives. Have you ever noticed that? The reason why God has created you to be a friend for someone else, the reason why God has placed you in friendship, it is so much more than simply sharing in the same common interests, affinity, movies and goals and travel. All those are fun things, pleasures, I get that. But gospel friendship, the very goal of it, is not for the enjoyment of yourself, but it's for you to become a means to an end, and that end is sanctifying, edifying, life-changing, in order to bring about redemption and salvation in that person's life. And I concur wholeheartedly with one of the pastor's comments. Ironically, church who knows the message of friendship is most often forgetting about the most important component of gospel friendship in church. Spiritual component. You are called to make a difference, not in order to make the person better about themselves emotionally, physically. That is part of it. But the ultimate goal at the end of the day is to bring about their redemption and salvation. You know, in New Testament, there is a command that is given to church over and over again, spur one another. The image and the metaphor that is used is actually a metaphor of an animal. Spurring one another means you tap the animal, not in order to injure them, but help the animal to move in the right direction. And the direction of being sanctified, being edified, the finish line is to bring about eternal salvation and redemption in that person's life. In other words, you got to be a reason why your friend is being changed. And if your friendship does not make a difference spiritually, you really have to assess your relationship. Can I be very frank here? The real practical purpose of today's sermon is not only you first evaluate your gospel relationship with Jesus, who has become the truest friend of all, but I want you to assess your friendship that you have horizontally. I want you to really assess and ask yourself, are you being a friend that God is calling you to be? And what God is calling you to be in this gospel relationship is so that you will bring about and highlight the spiritual component. I am a blessed man beyond measure. And the greatest blessing in my life, if you were to ask me, with a shadow of doubt in my heart, is the friendship that I had over the years. In my 20s, the greatest, you know, milestones were attending seminary, finishing, and getting married. But had I attended seminary on my own, I would have never finished it. I was commuting from L.A. to San Diego weekly. If it were just by myself, there's no way I would have finished my third and fourth year in seminary. And you know why I did it? Because there were friends who traveled together and who studied together with me. In my 30s, it marks the days of my church planting days and my family, and with the issues of my children's health, there were many days and moments I wanted to walk away from ministry altogether. Had it not for my two closest friends who are pastors encouraging me and spurring me not to quit but holding on to the very call that God has given to me, if it weren't for them, I would have quit ministry a long time ago. In my 40s, you may think that I'm godly, I may look like I'm godly, or maybe I don't look at all, but whatever the case may be, the reason and the only reason I have not fallen to moral temptation and failure is not because I'm a godly person, it's because of friends who stick next to me and say, do not make that mistake. The very voice of God and the reason for my sanity in ministry and the greatest realization that I gained over the years was that you cannot walk alone as a Christian. And it is through friends God has caused me to grow and mature. I want you to know something that is really very profound. You as a Christian are never called to walk alone. Do you remember when God created Adam? He created Adam in the image of God. And when he saw Adam, God said, it is not good for men to be alone. Here's an interesting observation. This was before the fall. So loneliness is not a result of the fall, but loneliness is an issue of God's perfectly divine design of perfection. God created you not to be alone, but to be in community. Just as the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit are one, they are in such community. They are friends amongst God has. God created us so that we may have friends, so that we may be a friend to one another. That's the calling. So the greatest calling in gospel friendship is so that you will bring others to know Jesus, who is the truest friend of all. Isn't it true, everyone? Whether you're Christians or non-Christian, both alike, we are longing to find a true friend. And gospel friendship states one obvious statement, and it needs to be echoed over and over again. I myself could never be the faithful friend that you're seeking. but I may lead you to Jesus, who is the truest friend of all to you. That's the purpose of gospel friendship. So can you be practical and ask this question? All your friends that you have in life, some of you have 2,000 friends on Facebook, when they see you, do they see you as a friend who emulate and who point to Jesus, the most faithful, everlasting friend that your friends truly need? John Newton, the author of Amazing Grace, I just think that he makes this amazing point and observation. He writes in this way who Jesus is. One there is, above all others, well deserves the name of friend. His is love beyond a brother's, costly, free, and knows no end. They who once his kindness proved find it everlasting love. And he goes on to say, which of our friends to save us? Could they, would they shed their blood? But our Lord Jesus died to have us reconciled in him to God. This was boundless love indeed. He is a friend in need. We have a friend above, and we have a friend here, and that is Jesus. So let me get to some applications. How does this change us? First, love one another is a command. I want you to listen to this carefully. Jesus says, whoever does what I command you to do is my friend. So if you are a friend of Jesus, if he befriended you, the connection is, it is not a choice. It's not something that you get to sit and say, I'm going to think about whether I'm going to befriend someone else now. No, you don't have the luxury. Jesus says, love one another. In other words, you are called to go and befriend those who are in need. Practically speaking, let me say this. Church cannot be a place of cliques. You know what clique is? It's a poisonous intention community that is designed to exclude other people, and they leave people out. But when it comes to church, who believe in the message of the gospel, if there's ever a place where friendship is experienced and realized, it's got to be here. So I want you to know, you are called to go love, that is to say, befriend someone in likeness of Jesus. Second, I want you to bless you. Second, if you think that it's hard to trust and I don't have really faithful friends, I don't really have good friends, I'm going to be the mirror reflection to yourself. And I'm going to have to say something that you may want to hear, but I want you to hear me out because I do care about you. The problem isn't you are lacking friends in life, but the real problem is your inability to be a good friend to other people. I want you to assess your own heart. And lastly, friendship, defined by the gospel, transcends all differences. If your friends look like you, if your friends come from the same background, if your friends share the common value system, if your friends enjoy the same thing, if your friends are very cool just like you, you're not forging friendship, but what you're forging is an exclusive group of people who enjoy one another. The real friendship is about Jesus approaching the table of tax collecting and calling Matthew to come and follow me. The real friendship is Jesus approaching Samaritan woman, which was forbidden, and say, I am the living water, believe me. True friendship is reaching those who are different and calling them to be your own kind. We have to radically evaluate the value system of friendship that we have as Christians. And that's what I want you to think about. Church, hear me, and I want you to hear me with a conviction. And I am just as guilty of this, if not worse than you. I pick and choose, so personally, conveniently, what is comfortable for me when it comes to friendship. But Jesus is not calling you to do that. Because if friendship were nothing more than just comfort, there is no reason as to why he would come down from first place. And I hope and pray that we will become a community of true gospel friendship that will display what gospel message is all about. And do you recall what I said in the beginning? Friendship can be life-changing. Let me paraphrase it a little bit. Gospel friendship can really change people for God. And may you and I truly become the extension of that.